Book 3, Malcharis.
Chapter 38. The arrival of a cool summer morning did not make the gorge look any less wide. Jabez Spike shook his head despairingly.
It would be simpler to float a stone across a river than to get all these creatures across that great dark pit.
Breakfast was frugal, and the water ration had run low. They ate and drank in silence. Basil Staghare looked longingly at the bushes and vegetation on the opposite side.
I'll wager there's tender young plants and lots of water over there, what?
He said wistfully. Cheek gulped his water ration in a single swig.
Wish you'd stop going on about food and water, Basil. Otters need water more than some old dried-up twig of a hare, you know.
Orlando strolled moodily round the blackened stakes that had held the bridge.
That fox. He really thought of everything, didn't he?
Jess had a faraway look in her eyes. She stroked her tail thoughtfully before peering over the edge of the gorge.
Chopped the bridge off completely at both sides, did he? Matthias, do you think our owl friend could fly down into the ravine and cast his eye about for the remains of the bridge? I've got an idea.
Matthias looked inquiringly at Sir Harry. The owl stretched his impressive wings.
The work of a moment, dear sir, to a useful fellow like me. I'll chance a flight down there. We'll see what we shall see.
The sunlight shone through his outspread wings as he executed a graceful soaring motion. Diving swiftly, he was soon lost to view within the dark abyss. Jess instructed Orlando on the next part of her plan.
Lend me your battle axe, big fellow. Oof! On second thought, you hold it. Now do as I tell you. Stand it upright against those stakes which held the bridge. Good. Logalog, could you bring some rope?
The shrew leader rummaged about until he found a small coil.
Here's your rope, but there isn't enough to get us a fraction of the way across that gap.
Jess uncoiled the rope.
I have no intention of trying to cross with this piece, Orlando. Hold the axe still while I lash it to the stakes.
Sir Harry reappeared over the edge.
This is your lucky day. I'll tell you what I found. As I was winging my way far below the ground, the bridge cast over the edge, complete with slats and all, hangs from a rocky shelf which juts from the canyon wall.
Jess secured the axe bolt upright.
Well done. I knew a long wiggly thing like a rope bridge couldn't fall far without getting caught on something. I don't want the slats. They're not part of my plan. Can you bring me one of the long ropes? Do you need a knife?
Sir Harry blinked indignantly.
What need of a blade have I? No sword or knife do I seek. I am monarch of the sky, with fearsome talon and beak.
With a hoot and a whoosh, he shot back into the depths. Jess shrugged apologetically.
Hope I haven't offended him.
Slagar glanced around nervously. They were passing through pleasant brush country, mainly bushes and shrubs, with the odd tree dotted here and there. The whole area gave Matameo the impression that once long ago it had been gardened, cared for and cultivated. He walked in line with his friends along what appeared to have been the path of a terrace. Flowers still grew in clumps and rocks ran in a straight line, probably bedded there by some industrious creatures in the dim past. Tess spoke into his ear from behind, the sudden sound causing Matameo to jump slightly.
Why are there no birds singing?
She asked. The young mouse was mystified.
You're right, Tess. I couldn't say what made me uneasy about this place at first, but you've put your paw slap on it. There's no sound. No noise of grasshoppers, birds. The things you'd normally expect to hear on a bright summer's day. Even Slagar doesn't look too happy with this place.
Tess clinked the chain manacles gently. The sound hung on the still air.
It is beautiful, though. I'd like to stop and sit here a while. Do you know, it reminds me somehow of our abbey. Look, there are ripe berry bushes over there, and daisies and roses too.